Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor Al Davis with you today, filling in for Pastor Lutz. Pastor Lutz is out this afternoon, and he asked me to fill in for him, which he does on occasion. And he's also filled in for me in our program as well. Some of you know our program follows this program at 1:30. So we have Pastor Lutz here at 1 o'clock with For the Cause of Christ, and then I'll have our program at 1:30, which is live with Pastor Al. And then, of course, Pastor Andy Rusnacka will join us at 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. I believe it was Pastor Lutz that coined the term the Baptist trifecta, so he should copyright that or something, I guess, but that's a good term. He's a pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, and Pastor Rusnacka is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid. So we got all three of us in a row. Hope we're a blessing to you here on your Friday afternoon. We're going to look at a couple of things here today. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 20, and this actually wanted to cover some things here in Matthew chapter 20, starting here with the parable of the householder with his vineyard as he hires laborers to work in his vineyard. And then that actually, if I can plug our program coming up at 1:30, I have a guest that's going to be on with me, James Simpson, the author of Who Was Karl Marx? The Men, the Motives, and the Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left. And so we're going to be talking about communism and its origins in the program at 1:30. But I thought I'd set the stage a little bit for those of you who are able to listen to this program and our program by discussing some of the things the Bible has to say regarding who owns the money, who owns the land, and our responsibilities there. And we're going to look at another passage in Acts as well in just a moment that some people claim teaches socialism or communism. And but before we do that, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll take a look at this here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would bless as we look into your word, that you would open it up to us, guide us and direct us, give us some insight and some understanding into the scriptures, and help us, Lord, to be able to understand what the Bible has to say, and that we can learn from it, profit from it, Lord. Bless now, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, thanks, Pastor Lutz, allowing me to sit in today. I want to go to Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus is giving a parable. Parables are always interesting. They're usually they're like a little short story or something that a little different than a proverb, a little more involved. But it's usually some kind of earthly, natural-based sort of situation or event that the people could relate to, and he tries to teach some spiritual truth through these things. But oftentimes in the parables, you'll find some other things, some other nuggets that you can bring out. And we're going to be looking at some of these side nuggets that come out from this parable here. This is a parable that starts in Matthew chapter 20, verse 1, where Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." And we see right there the main purpose of the parable is to illustrate some information on the kingdom of heaven and those who are called to labor in the Lord's vineyard. But we will see some other little nuggets of truth that help us to understand what's going on in the world around us today as well. He continues in verse 2, "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." Now, a penny a day doesn't sound like much to us, but a penny a day is essentially a day's wages. And in fact, later on in the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about when the four horsemen of the apocalypse come out in Revelation 6, and one of them brings famine. It talks about it takes a whole day's wages, a penny, to buy a bushel of wheat, or I think two bushels of oats, I think, or something like that. But because you could get more of that cheaper. But basically, everybody have to work all day just to consume enough food for that day. And so this is a penny a day. This is a day's wages. And he says he sent them into his vineyard. Now, this is early in the day. Now, to set the stage here, too, they had a place where people would go, kind of like the equivalent of an employment agency. People would show up in the marketplace early in the day. The day started essentially the first hour was when the sun came up. And because they did not have clocks, they didn't have wristwatches, things like that during that time, when the sun came up, it was always 6 a.m. When the sun set, it was always 6 p.m. And so you had the 12 hours of the day. And, of course, during the morning, people would gather in the vineyard as the sun came up to start to get light, and people start gathering there. And people would come in and hire them. They had work that needed to be done. And people would hire them. So the people listening to Jesus would understand what he's saying here, because many of them had either gone into the market waiting to find work, or perhaps they had gone to the market to find workers. And so this man goes into the market, and it says, as I said in verse 2, he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. He sent them into his vineyard. And in verse 3, and he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Now, the third hour would be 9 in the morning by their time. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the 6th and 9th hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out. Let me pause there for a minute. The third hour, of course, is 9 in the morning. The 6th hour would be noon. The 9th hour would be about 3 in the afternoon, and then the 11th hour would be about 5 in the afternoon, early evening now, and the sun is starting to set. And it says, and he went about the 11th hour, and he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And so when evening was come, this is when the sun's starting to set, last hour of the day, he says, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Now, notice in the parable, he never told them what they were going to get. He just said that whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. The only people he actually see that he mentioned anything to was the people he hired at the beginning of the day for a penny, a day's wages for a day's labor. And so he gives these ones that only worked the last part of the day a whole day's wages. And it says in verse 10, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and likewise received every man a penny. So it didn't matter what time of the day they were hired, whether in the first hour, the third hour, ninth hour, sixth hour, ninth hour, or the 11th hour, he gave everybody a day's wages for working in his vineyard. And the first that were hired worked all day, bore the brunt of the labor. The Bible says in verse 11, when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. And then he makes a good statement here in verse 15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So shall the last be first, and the first last, and many be called, but few chosen. Now, like I said, the main purpose of this parable is talking about the kingdom of God and the laborers in the Lord's vineyard. But there's a great point that he has here. This individual paid everybody a day's wages. The people who labored early in the day all day long murmured that the people who worked there just in the last part of the day got a full day's wages just like they did. And he said, take that is, or that thine is, and go thy way. Meaning, when he paid them their wages, what they had agreed with him, that money was now theirs. He had fulfilled what he obligated himself to do. They had a fair day's wages for a fair day's work. And then he says, I will give unto this last even as unto thee, meaning I will make the decision what to do with my money. Verse 15 again, is it not lawful for me to do that? I will with mine own. It's his own money. He made a decision that he would pay these guys who only labored for an hour or a few hours an entire day's wages. Now, why did he do that? Well, one thing, he had the means to do that because he was a fairly, a well-off individual. He had his own vineyard. He was able to hire these people. But the other thing, too, I think there's a clue. When we go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, there's a passage in here that says in verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. That's talking about helping people out. There are people who cannot work. There are people who are unable to work, either due to health or perhaps unable to find work or some other reason prevents them from working. This does not say that they shouldn't be helped. This says if any would not work. You know, we have a problem today, don't we? We have help wanted signs everywhere. We don't have enough workers. I've been listening to some things talking about the truck drivers. I heard somebody say recently we need 100,000 new truck drivers every year to help catch up the difference and replace those that are retiring or leaving the industry. That's a lot of jobs that are available. And people aren't taking them. People have talked about how they can't hire people because the government is making it too easy for people to sit home and essentially do nothing. Government pays them too well. And so people are saying, well, why should I go to work? I have to get up in the morning. I have to wear certain clothes. I got to spend time fighting the traffic. I got to get to work. I got to put up with people. And I got to spend all day there. Yeah, it's much nicer to sleep in, lounge around the house, play video games, watch a few movies, and maybe go out, talk to a few friends, go out. Of course, you go out, then half the time, guess what? The place is closed. Restaurants that used to be open till later at night are closing earlier and earlier. There's a place that we like to go after the radio program, and we get there, and the kitchen is closed at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or sometimes earlier. It says closed for the night. Why? Because they don't have people willing to work. Now, here's a question. Socialists and the communists, they always like to say the thing, how's it go? From each according to his means to each according to his needs. And the problem that you have with that is that the people with the needs suddenly decide they don't have the means, and they'll just let the people with the means supply them everything that they want. And before you know it, the people with the means no longer have the means, and things come to a crash. And you run out of people's money. That's what happened in Venezuela when Hugo Chavez took over, and he turned what was the wealthiest, most prosperous nation in Central and South America into one of the poorest, most impoverished. Spoke with somebody who had relatives who lived there, and they were very well off. The oil industry was very good to Venezuela. And Hugo Chavez came in and confiscated people's money and started spreading the wealth around, sharing it with people that weren't working, and he turned a prosperous nation into a communist cesspool. And of course, you had wealthy entertainers from this country and media figures going down and being fated by Chavez, and they come back saying, oh, it's a workers' paradise now. Yeah, people are starving to death. You know, you're not going to find too many pet cats and pet dogs in Venezuela, and there's a reason for that. People are starving to death. And so here's the problem here. The Bible talks about helping people out, but there's also this point that we saw that Paul said that if any would not eat, neither should he eat, or would not work, neither should he eat. We're under no obligation to help people out who will not. In the parable of the man with his vineyard, the men, when he came to the market again in the 11th hour of the day, remember he said, why stand ye here all the day idle? Was this a case that they would not work? Their response was, because no man hath hired us. They were willing to work. They just couldn't find any work. They couldn't find anybody who would hire them. They had the willingness to work. And so he said, well, come and work, and I'll make it right. Whatever's right, that shall ye receive. And so this man that had the vineyard, he hired these people. They were willing to work. They just were unable to find work. Now, because he hired them, he made a decision. He had his own money. And he said, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? He made the choice. These people wanted to work, but not through their fault. They were unable to find work. And he said, I'll go ahead and hire them, and I'll give them a full day's wages. They've got families that are dependent on them. They've got perhaps children that need food, and they have needs. I'll take care of them. It's in my power to help them out. Now notice, the government did not step in. He did not need some kind of socialistic, Marxist, Leninist, communist sort of group to step in and say, listen, we're going to take from your means and give to their needs. We're going to confiscate your money. Of course, we're going to keep some of it for ourselves for the trouble of helping you out, and we're going to give it to these people that have no need. And besides, why should they go to work for only less than an hour? It's too late in the day. We'll just give them the money, give them a whole day's wages for staying at home, and tell them tomorrow we'll do the same thing. No, he made the choice. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? It was his money. He made the decision. He had compassion on these people who wanted to work but could not work, and so he provided for them without government interference or force. He did it on his own. And see, this is an example of capitalism with a conscience. This is an example of capitalism with the Judeo-Christian ethic. See, capitalism, when divorced from the Bible, becomes a very onerous system. Greed takes over. People try to exploit and get whatever they can. But capitalism has done more to improve the lot of people in the world than any other economic system that's ever been attempted. Communism and socialism merely robs from those who produce and gives it to those who don't want to do anything, gives some of it to them, but a group at the top generally becomes quite wealthy. You know that Cuba, the Cuban Revolution, Fidel Castro, when he died, it was rumored that he was worth, communism, right? Spreading the wealth with all the peasantry and the poor people and taking care of the workers while people were starving and barely able to keep their cars together and losing their lands and their having their apartments divided in half or forced to share an apartment with other people because, well, you know, you've got two bedrooms and one bathroom and one kitchen and a small living room and you've only got six people living in there. We can move another family of six in there. Well, no. Fidel Castro died with a net worth of probably upwards of $900 million. he'd have lived another few years, he'd have probably been a billionaire. When you combine the wealth of Fidel Castro and his brother, he probably, the Castro brothers, I'm sure, were well over $1 billion. But Castro, he came from a wealthy background, as do most communist revolutionaries, and he used communism to exploit the masses and to exploit the people who owned the businesses and the lands, and he became quite wealthy. Hugo Chavez, before he died, was worth hundreds of millions of dollars as well. And we see this time and time again. You want another picture, clear picture of this? Look over in North Korea. You see these North Koreans that are as skinny as can be because they're half starved. And then you look at Kim Jong-un, who's a rather rotund individual because he eats quite well. He gets whatever he wants. People at the top prosper while the workers suffer. Everybody suffers under communism except for a tiny fraction at the top. And it's a godless system. We'll be talking more about communism in the next half hour. But this is not communism in the Bible. This is helping people out that have a need. Look here, and we're going to be wrapping up here, but look here in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul writes in verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more." He says, don't steal from people. That's selfish, and it's against God's law. It's a sin. He says, "Let him that stole steal no more." He's talking about somebody who's come to Christ, somebody who has a new nature. Instead, he says, "But rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." And you see that again, not only is he now going to take care of his own needs, but he's also going to help somebody else out. He's going to be a blessing to somebody else. And this is his decision, just like the vineyard owner in Jesus' parable said, "Is it not lawful for me to do that? Or to do what I will with mine own." Let me give you another example here, too. In the Acts chapter 5, we have a situation here. Actually, let's go to chapter 4 first, and we see numbers of people coming together to support the new Christians, that many of them were from outside of Jerusalem and Judea, and they didn't have jobs, they didn't have food, they didn't have a place to stay, and they were running out of money. And it says here in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 32, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." Does that mean communism? They threw everything together and they became communists? No, it means that they had compassion one upon another, and they began giving of what they had. They made the choice because they wanted to help somebody out. This is where the old word charity comes in play. Charity in the King James Bible is replaced in modern versions with the word love, and that takes away from the meaning, because charity is a type of love where you have compassion on somebody else so that you want to give to their need. These people had love for their fellow believers, and so this love was charity. They sold possessions to raise money to help people, and they brought them into the apostles, who distributed it. And we see in chapter 5 a case where Ananias and Sapphira, we won't have time to go through the whole thing there, lied about what they were given. And Peter said this in Acts 5 verse 3, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remains, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power?" In other words, it was your money, it was your land. You didn't have to lie about it. See, communism is not in the Bible. This is not what they practiced. They had their own money, their own lands, their own businesses. They were enjoined with the ethic of working to labor to not only take care of themselves, but to help others that had need. This is what capitalism needs. It needs Christianity. We need Christianity. We need Christ. Stay tuned. Hope you'll stay tuned for the next program.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.